Welcome, everyone. When we're struggling with addiction or working hard on our recovery, we sometimes forget that we each have the power to achieve and do anything we want. My guest today, Steve Wofford, is a living example of how we can master our own lives when we tap into our infinite potential. From content creator to transformational coach, Steve wears many hats, and none of them would be possible had he not undergone a personal journey through addiction and recovery. Steve is here today to talk to us about his journey, how he embraced the concept of true recovery for him, and how he uses his experience to help others achieve greatness. Steve, welcome to the show. So happy that you're here with me today.
Well, thank you, Erica. Thanks for let me come on your show today. I really appreciate you and the work that you do.
Oh, well, thank you. It's my pleasure. My pleasure to have someone like you on that is a shining example of really how we are the creators of our own life. And I think that's a really empowering thing to come to realize. I realized that, I think, a couple years into my sobriety, like, wow, I could create any life I want. I could write a book. I could have a radio, you know, you could create something. And so I want to talk to you today about how you help others and inspire people to realize that they are the creators of their own life, and how to set those kinds of goals and how to get people to see their potential.
Yeah, that is very powerful to be able to create really anything that we can dream up.
Yeah.
And so that's how I, you know, I did that with my life. And then obviously, like you said, that's how I help other people transform their lives. And it's probably one of the most powerful lessons I've had to ever learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, when someone tells you that, it's kind of different, you know, until you actually take the action. So I know that action is another word that is super important when you're creating. How do you get people that are, you know, what I deal with people like this too, that have been kind of out of action for a long time, whether they've been, you know, on, you know, in their addiction, or they've just been down a bad path, they've kind of become complacent in their life. How do we get them to take action again? And for people that are listening, what are some tips you have that you share?
Well, in my view, you know, we're all recovering from something.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, we are recovering from the disconnection of who we were really created to be. And this can manifest in addictions, disease, disorder, or just maybe not making a difference in the world like we want to. And so I don't focus necessarily on the symptoms, but it's more about restoring who God created us to be. And I really help people just to get to that next level.
Absolutely.
And so one of the tools, well, I mean, I use many, many different tools, but to me, finding your truth is probably the most important thing that you can do, because what happens is that we all feel like we're called to have this kind of life, right? And you can probably relate when you were in addiction and drinking and that whole lifestyle, where we have this sense that we're called to something bigger, but we just don't know how to get there, right?
Absolutely.
And so, and what I call that just being fragmented from our truth. And how we get there is that we have this knowing within us, but we just don't know how to get there. But the problem is that we're fractured by the false and limiting beliefs that we hold on to. And those are created primarily when very young, when we take on these beliefs of the world, our parents, church, school, and we get programmed and conditioned in a way, or something traumatic happens that in order for us to make sense of the world, we take on, well, hey, I must not be lovable. I must deserve this. And so what happens is in our subconscious, we end up believing these things, right? This isn't aligned with our truth. And that creates, it's kind of, if you think of like a broken mirror, right? So when we're looking at a broken, or in my case, and maybe your case too, you might be able to relate, that mirror's like pretty much shattered, right? Mm-hmm. We can't even see ourselves. But we are looking at ourselves in a broken and fractured way. And that's because we have those beliefs about ourselves due to, you know, the conditioning that we experience very young. And so what I try to help people do is to get in line with their real truth, not the things that they did and not the programming by other people. But when you become aligned with that truth, then you really have this supernatural ability to start creating things in your life. And the only thing that gets in the way of that is the belief in doing it. And so it's very powerful tool. It's probably one of the most powerful, like, creation tools that I use personally and help in my coaching business.
Yeah. And that's helping people find their truth. And for, you know, I wholeheartedly agree with this. That's amazing to actually start with people. But, you know, and I call it sometimes a core injury that someone has endured, whether it's the injury you created yourself, the trauma you created yourself through your own, you know, through your own life, your own addiction, whatever that is, or it's early childhood stuff. But either way, I think the awareness has to be there. And for somebody to want to be aware, and then when you bring it up to the surface, then what do you do with it? You know?
Right. That's probably the most challenging, and it's the whole denial thing, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't want to admit that we have a problem with drugs and alcohol or whatever we're struggling with. And even now on my journey, it's not like all this stuff is cleaned up 100%. It's like a continual process. But one of the interesting things is why I got into this business was because it's like I became like a professional at fixing myself first, right? Mm-hmm. And it mm-hmm. became like a way of life for me. And so I get to continue this process and exploring these different modalities of healing. Like, I just tried myofascial therapy, and that brought up stuff from a whole new level. And I was like, oh, well, I have some more stuff to clean up. And it was I was like, okay, you got to stop. And I'm pretty accustomed to doing this type of work, but I kind of know the process. And I'm like, but, oh, wow, like, that was a deep one. But I'm so grateful today to be able to go, hey, I just love when I get to stuff to clean up, to take myself to the next level. And it creates this, you're in a constant state of evolution, of becoming the best version of yourself. Mm-hmm. And so, but it can be, I can tell you right now, like, this was just last week, and I was like, I was scared. I had to tell him to stop, because I'm like, oh, I don't want to go there, right?
Wow.
And, but I didn't even know it existed. But the thing is, the interesting thing is, I keep digging and I keep digging. And that's what I push my clients to. You got to keep digging. If you want, you have to take and set the intention to act into it, right? That, hey, I want to get better, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we either do it through pain because life gets so tough or we struggle, or we do it through inspiration. I'm just thankful to do it through inspiration today.
Oh, absolutely. I love that you said that. We either do it through pain or we do it through inspiration. That's brilliant. And so this was, it's called myofascial?
Yes.
Oh,
MFR for short.
Oh, okay.
And it's an interesting modality because they basically just use touch to, it's like energy work in the body, because trauma especially gets stored in the body. Like, our subconscious is very powerful, and it has a way of working without going through the mind, the conscious mind, because our conscious mind wants to make sense of the world. It wants to judge everything. It wants to keep you safe, and everything's danger. And so this is a different way to go in through the subconscious by just using touch, because what happens is when we experience trauma, it shows up in the body and it gets stored in the body, but we don't have a way to release it. And so it's another way. It's like, I use words in my coaching to find people's truth. I can see it, but there's people out there that practice where they can use touch and just the sense of energy.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's so many beautiful ways, like you said, of healing. And, you know, it's just about what, I guess, leg of the journey you are on in order to get there. And I really admire that you do try all these things for yourself. You know, I work with people and trying to help heal people too. And so for me, it's important that I try other things too, because I believe that it builds a level of trust when you can say, hey, I've done it, or this is what this is about, knowing it from a firsthand perspective instead of you just reading it or hearing about it word of mouth. It really takes on a whole new level of connection with that other person when you have undergone something as well. So I really encourage people to see, you know, to work with coaches and healers and people that have kind of that courage to put themselves out there too. So I really applaud you for that.
Yeah, thank you. It's, you know, I was told early on, I can only take people as far as I've gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so absolutely. I have very big aspirations and and how I want to affect people and change people's lives and bring transformation into people's lives. And so the higher I can go, or deeper, I guess, depending on how you look at it, is that the further I go, the further I can raise up the people that I'm around. And this is just from my kids, me and you, people I run right. into the grocery store, or people that I'm coaching. It's just, I really want to make the world a better place. And the more powerful I am in my own healing and cleaning stuff up, the more that's going to manifest on a collective level.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I believe that so much. And it's hard for people to see that, especially, you know, people that are actually in the recovery process. I always see this, and they tell me months later, like, wow, you know, my whole family's dynamic has changed because I changed, or, you know, now this yeah. friend is getting help, or this, you know, and I want people to hear us today when we do say that really healing yourself, it bleeds out into every other part of your life, every other person. It's really like an energetic domino effect in so many ways. And if that's not the reason people should heal, but it's also a wonderful thing to be aware of.
It is. You hinted on something, and that's, you know, everything we do has a ripple effect. And in my podcast intro, I say the intro says something about every breath and thought brought us to this moment. And mm-hmm. so when I really started thinking about what that meant, was that every breath and thought, they're energy, right? Mm-hmm. And so one negative thought can create like that domino effect.
Right.
And one of the principles that I live by is that I learned about this in the book, The One Thing, and it talked about the domino effect. And the theory is, and that whenever you stack up dominoes, right, that you make mm-hmm. one knock over the next one, if you have the first domino is, say it's a millimeter, the next one can be 2, and the next one 3, the dominoes can increase in size.
Mm-hmm.
And you can knock over a domino that's hundreds of feet tall from a domino that was originally just 1 millimeter.
Mm-hmm.
And so mm-hmm. when it comes to creating that life, when you can focus on that one tiny domino, that's going to mm-hmm. cause the big, huge dominoes to fall, that every breath and thought is very similar to that, and it can actually have drastic, it's like a compounding effect. I mean, you see it in like compounding interest and financial, it's like a snowball effect, right? And mm-hmm. so what I've been able to do is to kind of apply that way of thinking to not only my personal life, but how I help people. And so when I'm breathing, when I'm thinking, when I'm doing work, I'm always thinking about that. What's that compounding effect that I'm going to do today that's going to have an effect on absolutely everything? And so, mm-hmm. like, when you were talking about creating your life, your reality, or whatever, like, that is a very powerful tool that you can have shifts very happen, and you can accomplish big things. I mean, like, your book, for example, is a great example. That probably took very focused energy, right? But mm-hmm. then, you know, thousands of people can read the thing, right, and change their mm-hmm. lives, and then those people change those things. And so it's a very powerful way to live.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love, when you're saying, you know, basically how we could be mindful of our thoughts. And I know that if people like really suffer from negative self-talk or negative thoughts, it is a ripple effect in our lives. So, you know, I try to bring people to the awareness of, you know, be responsible of your thoughts, know what you're thinking, be mindful, be aware, all of that. And that doesn't mean necessarily that if someone wakes up in the morning and they're like, you know, worried about work, or they're worried about something that's going to be going on in their day, that they could have that valid fear, let's say. But at the same time, if you know, they're not present and they wake up and they're with their partner, their wife, their husband, their boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, someone else is around them, and that person feels their fear, and that fear, you know, bleeds into the another person. And again, there's the domino effect. How can we begin to build that muscle, I guess, of being aware of our thoughts and then reframing, or, you know, being aware to the in that moment, so that you could say, hey, Steve, you know, let's stop future tripping on, you know, what's going to happen today. Let's bring it back to the present, and let's be more positive. We don't know how the outcome's going to be, so why not choose the positive outcome versus the negative? How do we get ourselves to kind of build that muscle?
Well, that's a great question, Erica.
I'm just...
For me, there is a collective consciousness, if you will, mm-hmm. or even a collective judgment. And so now those negative thoughts, I think of them like an app on your phone or a word processor on your computer. Those thoughts are basically just what you see, what you're conscious of, what you're aware of, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens, though, is that on the subconscious level, which the subconscious processes 4 billion bits of information, the conscious mind only processes 2. And so basically our being is, if you think of it as a computer, you can see the word processor, but behind the scenes, the operating system's really running the show, because without the operating system, your word processor or app just is not going to run. It cannot function on its own. And so those thoughts are created by or interpreted by our beliefs, which are held in the subconscious. So when you have things that happen when you're 5 years old, you have these thinking patterns that just manifest in the addictions and disorders and whatnot. And we're not even aware of it because they're all in the subconscious. We don't know any different. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that's on the individual basis. But this even compounds the problem when your environment is basically doing the same thing. And so knowing the difference between your negative thinking and the energetic effect of someone that you're around, it can be a very it can be a very difficult situation to figure out what the truth is. For me, I had to leave absolutely everything I knew. I had to leave my marriage of 20 years. I left 12-step recovery. I was not so involved with my church, and I just had to go do Recovery Squared. And I had to learn that what environment is serving why I do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to leave all that to really understand what my truth is, because now that I'm stepping back into it, I understand what that on the energetic level, what is more of the collective negative thinking or the collective judgment. Because before, when I was in it, I was taking on too much of it. I was taking on too much of other people's judgments of what I was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or groupthink is a great example. And so in order for me to step back in there, I had to step away from it and be okay with just me, be whole and complete in my truth. And mm-hmm. so now when I go back into these places, I don't take it off. It just bounces onto me. And this is actually something I was kind of playing around with writing about, this idea and the process of how you get there, because what I found with my experience was that I had to leave all that, and I don't know that there's a way to truly stay in it and to fully stand in who you are completely. I feel like there has to be that process of isolation to really mm-hmm. go deep and to get firm on who you are, because mm-hmm. otherwise there's just too much negative thinking, too much judgment for you to really even know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of my process, and that's what I've kind of come to learn, and I see with other people. But like, that's something that I'm learning as I'm stepping back, that I really feel like it was super valuable for me to step out of it. And I think, as Jim Rohn says, that, you know, you're the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I kept having to change that as I grew, because the people that got me here aren't going to get me there. And so, and part of that time was just, you know, me, myself, and I, right? And learning myself.
Absolutely. And once you become clear and, you know, clean of any poisons, and you kind of, you know, you step back and you kind of enter the first phase of healthy living, you do have to have that contrast of solitude, healthy solitude, to see, you know, what is your energy like on your own? What do you enjoy again? What makes you light up? And to have that solitude, that alone time, to have the contrast of, oh, wow, I didn't feel that way when I was around this person or that person or this church or this, you know, whatever it is, the community is or the people you're around. It is important to take that time to feel that contrast, because I think that could shed so much light into really what it is that makes us tick individually.
Yeah, that's I like that, because it's we cannot know connection without separation.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. It's
and
a contrast.
What I would encourage people to do is to, this isn't just one level, right? Like, when we first got clean, we had to change our friends. We had to create that separateness from our old way of living. And then, but that does not stop. Like,
right.
There's many different phases and many different levels. And the one thing that I've learned is that, you know, in our infinite potential, that we have to know when we have to step away, when we have to create that separation. Because there's that next level that we need to get to. And so it's kind of been I noticed that pattern, you know, a handful of different times. And what I noticed is that when I had that separateness, that I was able to connect deeper into where I had left.
So, Steve, as we were just discussing, that healing obviously is an ongoing process. We don't just heal in one day. And that I think our patterns are always being unearthed as we heal. Like you were saying, it's not just something that happens right after you enter recovery. There's life that comes in again, and then families and new relationships and deaths. And, you know, life just has so many things that is thrown to us. So we constantly, I think, have to start to be aware of our patterns and which ones aren't serving us. Don't you think it's continually ongoing?
Yeah. I mean, that's been my experience, and that's the general principle of the universe, right? Or God, it's infinite. And I believe, like, one of the reasons I use the term infinite potential, because that keeps me in a space that I'm always continuing to look for my next level. And the only thing that's really going to hold me back is myself. And so that's why I'm open to, hey, what do I have to heal next? Right?
Mm-hmm.
What do I have to heal next? And then also on that collective level, right? Because that's a whole nother effect that, you know, like, this conversation that we're having right now is creating an energy of itself. And so it's bringing healing to ourselves, but also to other people. And so it's just become kind of a way to live my life.
And I love it. And I'm so, so grateful to have this kind of connection with you and to continue to push myself, you know. And I'm inspired by you, and I'm inspired by, you know, so many different things, but it's constantly important for me to remind myself to be inspired, to really push myself to connect with inspiration, to be in awe of life, you know, to challenge that every day too, because I think we kind of get complacent or we forget, but really there's just so much goodness going on out there. And I just want to talk about quickly Recovery Squared, recoverysquared.com is your website and your radio show that's coming up. So can you tell everybody a little bit about that and yourself, where to find that?
Yeah. So I have my blog, recoverysquared.com, and I do blogging, and I write about my experience, and I write a lot about these different modalities that I've used. But I also have my radio show, Recovery Squared Radio. You can find it on iTunes and all the other podcast directories. And then also on my website, I have all the shows up there. But basically, I have conversations very similar to the conversation that we have, and we cover a lot of the different modalities of, you know, recovering to our true selves. And so really that's me creating content to kind of be of service to people. And then I also have my one-on-one coaching that I do as well. And if you go to recoverysquared.com, I have a belief guide that I can send you that helps outline some of these things that we're talking about. If you click on the get access button, I can send you an email so you can receive that.
Fantastic. And what's inspiring you today? What inspires you?
To be honest, this connecting with people, this conversation is very inspiring. You are also very inspiring, and I'm honored to know you, and I'm honored to be on this show. And to me, it's about these connections is what inspires me. I get chills throughout just having this talk and living in that inspirational level. And that's what keeps me going. It's that compounding effect of inspiration. And what I found is that the truer I am and the centered I am, the more on the subconscious level I'm running. And that's when you lead with your heart. And that's when you lead through inspiration, because I don't know about you, Erica, but I'm done, you know, being inspired through pain. because I'm done suffering. And so I love living through inspiration because it's so much more powerful and so much, it's so much more loving way to live.
Yes. Well, thank you for sharing that love with us today and all your inspiration. Steve, thank you. You can find Steve at recoverysquared.com. You're listening to Rewired Radio on Radio MD. I'm Erica Spiegelman. Thank you for joining us and stay well.